You don't need much to be a church. When they show you around the catacombs in Rome or in Malta, you see how easy it is to get back to basics. You see the simple things that we're truly about, bread and wine and a book. But somehow on top of these wonderful and sufficient simplicities have been built superstructures. And they're structures that are not always so super. They get in the way, they slow us down, they suffocate, preoccupy. Procedures and pomp don't sit well with the man from Nazareth. A general assembly of servers can sharpen that debate, pomp and ceremony, and you can easily imagine that little man standing at the back shaking his head, saying, "This isn't what I meant, this is not what I meant it to be like." Everyone's heard the story of the tourist in Ireland asking the way to Dublin. "Sure, sir, if I was going to Dublin, I wouldn't start from here." And that's true of church. If you were beginning the church, you wouldn't start from here. Not this year, not now, not like this. But we do. We start from here. We start with the givens that we've been given, the stuff and the plant and the procedures that are in place, carried over from the past. We can recognise it as our heritage, or we can call it baggage. Maybe it's a bit of both. But the truth is, we've not got a blank canvas, and so we've got to check out whether we're in the business of preserving and propping up the past, or what. We can sort of imagine how it might be very different from how it is, but the reality is we have to work with how it is and who we are. That's part of who we are, has to do with what it's like out there in the world. We are people trying to be the people of God in this world at this time, and we can't escape our cultural straitjacket. So we need to have a handle on what it's like out there and how that affects how we think and what we need. And what's it like out there? Well, we heard at the General Assembly about the VUCA world that we now live in. It's volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. At the very least, it's different from how it was for our forebears in the golden age of the church. Very different from how it was even when I started 40 years ago. Big changes. The world is volatile in so many ways. Political, attitudinal. What's the latest thing that you can't say or do? That changes so rapidly. It's full of uncertainty. In the world of work, will I have my job next week? Relationships, will they last? The bank rate, the future, sudden swings in new directions. And that's certainly true in the church context. No one is very sure at the moment how the future is going to look for any congregation. Hard assured certainties are no longer in place. COVID-19 created pressure points that we never dreamt of, and old habits are dying. We also have to recognise that we live in a world with what Paul Simon called a short little span of attention. And the requirement on the church, no less than anyone else involved in communication, is how to get a serious and important message across in a sharp, tight and focused, waffle-free way, without dumbing down, without losing the thrust and meaning in a desire to be accessible. It's the world we live in, and it's a tough call, and it's getting harder because of the complexities of digital worlds, new tricks that are hard for old dogs to learn. We do our best, but when there are no banks to go to and scams abound and what does it herald? And AI is upon us. What does it mean? Fake news is hard to distinguish from real news, and everything is so complicated and triplicated and blurred. That ambiguity is part of the landscape we inhabit. That world where there's a huge commitment to the philosophy of what suits me, what seems to run hard against the traditional Christian notion of renunciation and self-sacrifice, a religion that invites, indeed requires, people to die to self, makes a jarring sound across the music of the age, make no mistake. So this is not a hot selling point for Christianity in today's culture. That desire for more diverse, individualistic religious expression, the narcissism of small difference, as they call it, the dislike of conformity, uniformity. How does this experience express me as against everyone else? So the notion of us all singing the same thing and saying the same things and thinking about the same things is a hard one to take for a society where things are increasingly personalised. The broad brushstrokes don't work as well as they once did. We all, everybody, don't find these current concepts, the confusing ambiguity that at the same time comes with a drift towards self-assertion and how my needs can be catered for. There are the voices of the people of conscience demanding a kind of integrity of purpose from all those they deal with. They want to be reassured that the chickens are free-range and the carrots organic and the produce not tainted by GM or exploiting child labour, an awareness of the global economy, a passion for prisoners of conscience. That's all out there. And that sensitivity may be patchy, but it's a real factor in the world we address. So we have to be sure to recognise these ambiguities. Make sure we're answering the questions people in a VUCA world are asking. People are quite happy with ambiguity. Indeed, they more often prefer it to certainty. They're suspicious. Certainty is bound to be simplistic. That's the perception. Black and white has been overshadowed by grey. Grey is the new grey. Out there in the world in which we live and with which we want to share our faith, there's a significant shift of attitude that makes people anti-authority. Don't preach at me, they say. Don't tell me what to do. I can work it out for myself. And to a church that has prided itself on preserving the rigidity of its creeds and the inflexibility of its canons, this is a seismic shock. So, are we doomed, therefore, since we fail at so many points? Is it true, a dear old friend told me just last week, the church is on its last legs? So chronically out of kilter with the VUCA world in which we live and move and have our being? Well, it might be, except actually there are still sore places and we still have the healing balm. What's still needed? People in our time and for the times to come continue to need belonging, meaning, inspiration, forgiveness, self-worth, a spiritual dimension that goes deep, love. And the challenge to the church now is, can we be that, give that? Can we develop a model of the church that will work today, here and now? My ideal church would be one where hospitality and love are present. How we develop patterns, how we feel about each other, what opportunities there are to deepen our relationships. Now, I know some folk think churches for us to worship God, fellowship and love are not the notions we work with. But really, no strangers, please. And paying constant attention to that. Do people look out? Do we make it a second mile kind of Christianity that never gets so that we forget people and folk slip through the cracks? They say it never gets very crowded on the second mile. But if we're alert and caring and not so busy that we're blind to the person who's standing on their own, look out for the stranger. Leave our own comfort zone to take the risk of contact and ask, is this the moment of truth for someone out there? Dare I go the second mile? What will happen if I do? What will happen if I don't? An ideal church would have plenty of resources. Unfortunately, in the Church of Scotland, we celebrate the might and make that the measure, emphasising the smallness without understanding that she gave everything, that widow. And if we're being outward and not inward, if we're making sure we're not just a club for our own members, if we're relaxed, not legalistic, and that gets harder to do as the pressures and the laws and the rules grow in number. If we're committed, not lukewarm, not being put off and used, not being as committed as we were as an excuse for dropping out completely. Embracing experiment, not afraid of the new. Prayerful, but not divided by elitism. You know, those who pray and those who are a bit dubious about it. Some people have a particular calling. A church that's on the way, that's not arrived. A pilgrim people allowing others to be pilgrim people too. Faith, a journey, not a package. So it's not going to be tidy as we allow other folks to make their journey. Can we be that kind of church? Do we care enough to want to be? That's the challenge. That's the call. That's the opportunity in a VUCA world. So let us build a house where all may come.